It was such an honor and privilege to have my next guest come on the show. John McCaskill is a retired Navy SEAL commander turned mindfulness and meditation teacher. He has served in Iraq, Afghanistan, off the coast of Somalia, and in Panama. He also runs a consulting business that brings mindfulness and meditation to high-performing teams to aid in dealing with stress, anxiety, depression, all while increasing focus, creativity, and productivity. He also serves as the Deputy Executive Director for Veterans Path, a nonprofit that works to introduce meditation and mindfulness to veterans to bring them a sense of peace, acceptance, transformation, and honor. Such an amazing show you do not want to miss with John McCaskill, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast, a top-ranked show because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you're not subscribed to the show, please subscribe. Continue to share it with your family and friends. And lastly, give us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We sure would appreciate it. A big, big shout out to all the brave men and women who serve in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for doing it. Remember, you were honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We know you're going to love the show. Long-time listener, thank you for coming back. We love you.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337.
You know, with all the threats to our brave men and women who protect us every day, it's nice to know that there is a great company like Detectachem out there. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep the brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection, app-based technology that fits in the palm of their hands, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. You got to check out this company, folks. It is an amazing company. You can check out their link at cjevolution.com. Let Detectachem help keep your troops safer. On to the show with the one and only John McCaskill. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, John McCaskill. Welcome, brother.
Hey, so good to be here with you, man. Thanks for flexing with my schedule as we were discussing right before we hit record. And, you know, also in this day and age, such a wild time. I'm sitting here in my jacket, in my car, virtual background. But, you know, we're making things work. So I appreciate your flexing with me, man.
Well, no problem, brother. And I know you've had some family, like I said, afflicted with COVID-19. So prayers that they recover quickly.
Thank you.
And it's just crazy times like we were talking about. I mean, but we have to be, you know, flexible and versatile. And you know all about that. You were a Navy SEAL for 17 years. And for those people who don't know your story, brother, would you share it?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm trying to think where to even start.
I always ask Leo as a military, what was the catalyst? What made you join the military? Was it a calling or?
You know, yeah, I think there was a little bit of a calling there for sure. The irony here with that question is I was born in South Africa, and my parents moved us to the States when I was 7 years old. I have 3 older sisters and a younger brother. But at the time, young men, when they got out of high school, they were drafted into the military. And my parents didn't want that. So we came over here and I volunteered to join the U.S. military. But I think I always had, and I feel that I still have a desire to serve. And that carried me. I did at one point look at serving in other capacities and in nonprofits prior to going into the military. I looked at, even being a law enforcement officer of some sort. And then the military jumped out at me. And then specifically, at the time in high school, I was part of a small tight-knit group that was very high-performing track and cross-country team. And our coach put us through some absolutely brutal workouts. And I mean, it was just, and we were a brotherhood.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be part of something small, something elite. So I looked at special operations, and then the SEAL teams jumped out at me. I don't feel that the SEALs are better than special forces or vice versa. It's just the SEALs jumped out at me as far as their mission set was what I wanted to do. And that's, the rest is history. I joined the Navy in 1996, served for almost 24 years, and 17 of that was with the SEAL teams.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Well, thank you for your service, sir. And
thank you.
We appreciate it. Now, maybe a dumb question I'm going to ask you anyway. What was the hardest part? I've talked to a lot of SEALs, and obviously you were a SEAL, but what was the hardest part of the training for you? I mean, it sounds like you had the good foundation right there, because I know you spent time, I've seen in other interviews, you spent time at pools and stuff, great swimmer. So was that the foundation? I mean, what was that helped you obviously in SEAL training?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the foundation was built in that small track and cross country team that I referenced.
Mm-hmm.
I think that coach instilled toughness, instilled grit, instilled a brotherhood in us. And that brotherhood in the military, I think starts in boot camp or whatever indoctrination period you go through. That's kind of your first taste of the brotherhood or camaraderie. I'll say brotherhood, but really what I mean is camaraderie. You got your brothers and sisters in the military. I don't want to leave out my sisters also serving in uniform. Yeah. My wife was a Navy for 10 years, and I don't want to at all minimize my female counterparts. So anyway, the toughest part for me, I think, was the lack of sleep in training. The cold sucks, the logs that you run around with, the boats that you run around with, that all sucks. But you kind of in your mind, you're like, well, if I can just get through this hour, if I can get through this next hour, if I can get through this next hour, it's just kind of this step by step to the final goal, right?
Yeah.
But man, when you are lacking sleep, that causes your brain and your mind to just go crazy and think crazy things and see crazy things. So I think the lack of sleep was the hardest part for me, especially as a leader going through training. That was tough. And that's in training. And then in the teams, the same thing. There's a lot of times when you are going on very little sleep. And we all know that your mind and your body, it needs sleep, right? I mean,
we're designed for that.
yeah, right. It's part of our makeup. We're meant to recover.
Yeah.
And even in the teams, throughout the years, I think the lack of sleep was what I struggled with the most. When you're on deployment and you're working, 18 hour days, getting 6 hours of sleep, and even that 6 hours of sleep is interrupted. I mean, I remember my last deployment, I was the operations officer, and whenever there was what's called troops in contact, whenever you have some people that are actually in a firefight, there was a red light in my room that would like a red cop light, right?
So get ready to jump out of a plane, the red light comes on.
Yeah, exactly. And it would turn on, and it's like literally one of those turning lights
up.
To get me up. So like that maybe six hours of sleep that I would get would be interrupted every night with guys in a firefight.
Yeah.
Though, to be honest, hey, waking up in the middle of the night with a red light in my room versus being on the battlefield.
Oh yeah.
Getting shot at. I would take that all day long, every day. So,
Now in an elite group like the SEAL teams, I mean, you were an officer, you were a commander.
Yeah.
So how is it? Because I was in the Army, and it was always like with the enlisted, here comes the lieutenant. I mean, it's rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that it's, it's kind of the same with that, but you have to earn that respect. Like in any rank, you have to earn it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, I can't speak to the regular big Navy too much. I mean, it's definitely, you know, you call one another by ranks a lot more in the regular Navy than you do in the SEAL teams. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of first name basis in the SEAL teams, mostly from the officers to the enlisted. Like I called all my men by their first names.
Yeah.
They would still call me sir. They would still call me, you know, lieutenant and lieutenant commander and commander as I, you know, rose up through the ranks. But then, you know, behind closed doors, we were a lot more, I won't say like, the familiarity wasn't undue. It was just kind of a respect, a mutual respect.
It's a tight probably group.
Tight group, right? Yeah. And you go through the same crucible, like the officers go through the same training that the enlisted go through. And we're all in it together. So I think there's just that mutual respect there. Whether we're calling one another by rank or by first names, there's still a, hey, you went through that same crucible that I went through. So it's a trial by fire that we all go through, and I think we're hardened and bonded by that fire.
Yeah. And you, what advice, John, would you give somebody like a young person, and maybe you've had this, you know, that comes to you and say, hey man, or sir, what advice would you give me? You know, I'm thinking about contemplating a military service. I'm thinking about getting into the Navy or even the SEAL teams. I mean, what advice would you give them?
Yeah. Great question. And I do regularly get people that, you know, come to me and ask me about, hey, I'm thinking about joining the Navy or the SEAL team specifically. What I recommend to them is, specifically those who are looking at going into special operations, is really understand what that particular branch of the military does, whether it's Navy, Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, or now even Space Force. Understand what that branch specifically does, and then specifically what your unit that you're looking to be a part of, you know, SEAL, Special Forces, you know, if you want to be a pilot, whatever, really understand that unit and that role. I think a lot of people come into the Navy to be SEALs, but it's really, they come into the Navy to be somebody who goes after the glory, when the job is brutal. There's a lot of times that it's not the sexy stuff that you read about in the books and you see in the movies. There's a lot of downtime, a lot of hard work that is not, not sexy, not pretty. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of staff work. You know, there's a lot of time spent behind a computer, sending emails, putting together PowerPoints, specifically as an officer. And you rise up
in the ranks.
That's
all you're doing. Yeah.
That's, you know, you end up being a desk jockey sometimes. And if you don't understand that, then you could be getting into the wrong field. The analogy that I use when I speak with somebody who's interested in going into the military, and I'm like, hey, well, what do you want to, be an enlisted or do you want to be an officer? And they're like, well, the officers make more money. I'm like, okay. you obviously don't understand the difference. So I'm like, okay, so the analogy is a football team, right? And the football team to me is like the guys actually on the field playing the game. That's your enlisted men, enlisted sailors, airmen, enlisted men and women, sorry. The quarterback may be like your senior enlisted out there on, you know, calling the plays actually on the battlefield. Your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator on the sideline, that's more like your officer, you know, kind of looking at the bigger picture, maybe the operational picture rather than the tactical stuff that's happening on the field. That's your officer. And then like your owner of the team is like your senior officer looking at the strategy. Okay, hey, if we win this game, what do we need to do for the next game? Like looking much bigger picture. And when I explain it to people like that, that's normally when I get people like, oh yeah, I want to be a door kicker. I want to be, so I'm like, okay, so then you probably want to be an enlisted guy.
Yeah.
So maybe look at going into the enlisted ranks rather than the officer ranks.
Yeah.
And if somebody was like, hey, I want to be a leader. Okay. Well, you can be a leader from within the enlisted ranks too. So maybe
to be a leader.
Yeah, exactly. So many people get that wrong. Yeah. Thank you, no, you for saying that.
Well, there's a great book by Robin Sharma that says, you know, the leader had no title. It's a great book. And it talks about that. Some of the best people I work with, John, and probably you in law enforcement didn't have rank at all.
Right.
But they were some of the best leaders that I've ever been around, you know, and they had no rank.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think it takes leaders from within all the levels of the military to make it run right. And those who think wearing a rank makes you a leader, the inverse of what we just talked about is also true. There are people who are wearing high rank who are not leaders. And what I try to take away from those folks, because you try to learn something from all those around you, is what not to do. Yeah. And I've probably learned a lot more of what not to do from those who are higher ranked than me than what to do. But anyway, yeah. So I encourage joining the military. I think it's a great adventure. I think you can really make connections with brothers and sisters that you will never make anywhere else in this world. But you truly need to understand what it is you're wanting to do within the military before you sign anything.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said about especially with the SEAL teams, there's a reason why there's such a high attrition rate.
Yeah.
Because people like him and you know, I'm speaking to the choir, people get in with a certain idea, and then they go through like Hell Week or you know, BUDS or whatever. And then there's like a, 80% dropout rate or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that. And you know what I've found to be like mostly in common with the guys who get through, and they've done all these studies, and like, just when I take a step back and I look at the guys who quit, a lot of them, when I would speak with them, they're like, I want to go to BUDS. I want to go to BUDS. I want to go to BUDS. Well, you're not seeing the big picture. You're not seeing the ultimate goal, right? Like, the guys that I see that make it through are the ones who are like, hey, I want to be in a SEAL team. I want to be part of a platoon. I want to be out there, you know, taking it to the enemy, and doing it with extreme violence of action.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that I see that make it through, no matter how bad the training gets. Those are the guys who see the big picture, see the ultimate goal. So that's the one thing that I've seen in common with those who make it.
Yeah. And I love it. You talk about this a lot with, you know, Veterans Path. You talk about mindfulness and getting into that correct mindset, which I want to talk about
in a minute.
But that's such great advice with people that want to get into it. I remember my son, he's 20 now, and he came to me about a year and a half ago, and he said, hey, Dad, you know, you're in the Army. I want to talk to you about joining the military. I was like, don't do the Army. Don't do it. The Army people are probably going to be pissed off at me. Look, I love the time. I love the Army. But you mentioned Space Force. So he ended up joining the Air Force, and he's part of Space Force now at Buckley.
Oh, wow.
So it's amazing. I mean, kid's 20 years old. He's dealing with all the top secret stuff that I wish he would tell me about, but he can.
Yeah, sure. Is he here in Colorado Springs?
He's in Buckley Air Force Base here in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm like, dude, I just want to know where the aliens are. Just show me where the aliens are. But I know, because when I was in, I had a, you know, clearance, and my dad was always asking me stuff. And I was like, oh, I can't, Dad. I can't tell you.
Yep.
So I said, well, I'll rank you. Well, I still can't tell you. Let's talk about the great work you're doing with Veterans Path, brother. I mean, it's just amazing work you're doing.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak about it. I mean, it's a nonprofit, re-headquartered here in Colorado Springs, but we're working to serve veterans all over the country, or U.S. veterans, really, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are teaching mindfulness and meditation to veterans, which, you know, seems... Sometimes if you hear that, it seems a little flowery, but if you truly know what that is, or if you're truly open to something a little uncomfortable, a little out of the normal, practicing mindfulness and meditation can be a game changer. And it was a game changer and literally a lifesaver for me when I was having some ups and downs, more so the downs. Someone introduced me to mindfulness and meditation, and it turned my life around, which is why I'm with Veterans Path. So yeah, we're out there. We have been doing face-to-face things until COVID hit. Now we're doing a lot more virtual. But yeah, we are working with veterans to introduce them to mindfulness and meditation to help them with the stress and anxiety that may come with being a military member, with the stress and anxiety that may come with transitioning out of the military, because that's another whole stress inducing mm-hmm. period of your military career. Or to help them just to perform better, get better sleep so that you can be a better soldier, sailor, airman, whatever the case may be. Because again, as we talked about before, that lack of sleep can really turn you around and make you basically a different person.
Yeah.
But if you're able to get better sleep, then you can perform better and you can see and relate better to those that you work with. So the ultimate goal is to get mindfulness, specifically military specific mindfulness, to every service member and every veteran. It's going to take a while to get there, but that's our goal.
Oh, I love it. And you mentioned, if you would ask me, John, about meditation or mindfulness, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, I would have laughed at you. I'm just flowing robes and all this other stuff, and I'm not doing it. There's not a day that goes by, brother, that I don't meditate.
Nice.
I don't wake up, and there's apps for it. I use an app, but I'm hooked on that thing. But the point is there's a reason why spec op community employs meditation, NFL teams, professional sports teams, law enforcement is incorporating it now, because it works. And it's so needed, I think, in today's world, by just, getting to that state where you're just clearing your mind, man. You're not letting things stress you out. I mean, most of the things we worry about never come to fruition anyway.
Right. Exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. Is the clearing your mind is, people think that sitting down to meditate or being mindful throughout your day means that your mind completely stops, right? Or that it doesn't at all. It just settles down and you're able to see what's important in your day, in your life. Another analogy for you is the snow globe. If you picture a snow globe after it's been shaken up and all those flakes are flying all over the place, that's what our minds are like 90% of the time. And if you try to see the little, the little building or whatever it is in that snow globe, you can't see it because it's covered in snowflakes. And if you set that snow globe down and it settles and all those flakes settle to the bottom, then you can see like the image or the building or whatever it is that's inside that snow globe. That's the important part of what's in your mind, right? Mm. If you kind of imagine your mind as that snow globe, when you set it down and all that other noise settles and falls off, then you can see what's important in your life. Yeah. And I think that's where like the stress and the anxiety, that all falls away. And then you can see what's important, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whatever it is that you need to focus on right then and there. That's what meditation helps you to do. Yeah. Talking about the football or the NFL, you talked about special operations, we use it. It's so that you're a better operator, so that you're a better player, so that you can see things and really be more intuitive and more in touch with the current situation as it is on the battlefield, on the sports, in the sports arena, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. You're going to be better at it when you start to practice meditation and mindfulness, 100%.
Yeah. And I love, gratitude too, man. I always start my day, and I talk to cops all the time. They're like, oh, it's crappy out there. Life sucks, this and that. And I'm like, you're breathing, right?
Yeah.
You're alive. So, it really helped me. It was a game changer in my life personally, because most people go through stuff. They have stuff that they have to deal with and go through in life. Meditation and gratitude journal that I do, and waking up every day and, being grateful. That was a game changer for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great planner that I use, and one of my buddies is going to laugh at me because I'm recommending it on the show. It's called the Panda Planner, and it has all these prompts in it. So every day you open it up, it's got a daily part, a weekly part, and a monthly part. And in each section, you write, hey, what it is you're thankful for, what your goals are for that day, what your goals are for the week, what your goals are for the month, what your habits are, good and bad, and gratitude is a big part of that journal, and it's one of the ones I use. And I think having that, I know this sounds trite, but the attitude of gratitude really does change the way that you see things. As you start to have that positive mindset, you start to see more things in a positive light.
Yeah.
So, I'm a 100% big fan of gratitude.
Yeah. I tell, you know, cops all the time, I talk to a lot of them, and law enforcement, I tell people, John, is it's a toxic environment. That's not the people who work in there. I'm not saying are all toxic. I'm just saying that's just the nature of the environment. I mean, you can only, you know, human suffering and trauma and stuff like that without it affecting you down the road. So a lot of cops I know are kind of jaded.
Of course.
And so what I tell them is, man, you gotta change your mindset, man. You just have to start being more grateful for things in your life. And I started doing that and, you know, hanging myself. I think who you surround yourself with is important too. I mean, you gotta surround yourself with the right crew, but you know, you have so much to be grateful for, man, but you control it. Yeah. You control what's in the 6 inches between your ears. Nobody else does.
Yeah, no, 100%, man, 100%. And you have to be intentional. Yeah. I mean, your life is your own, right? I think Pearl Jam has an old song like I Am Mine, something to that effect. And you are your own person, and you have to be intentional about owning that. And either you let it slide and become, you know, that jaded life, and you can look at everything with a negative mindset, that negativity bias, or you can turn it around and try to see the good things in life.
Yeah.
My dad, God bless him, I love him to death. But he's got one of the worst negativity biases. Yeah. He'll text me or send us a message as a family, and he'll be focusing on all the negative stuff. And I'm like, hey, Dad, and you know, I'll turn it around on him. And he's like, oh yeah, that's a good point. And you know, come on, you got to look for the good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even when it gets tough, like right now, you mentioned my family. My brother-in-law is literally fighting for his life against COVID-19. He's on all sorts of machines. And today he squeezed my sister's hand.
Wow.
Right. And he hasn't been able to do that in like 3 weeks. And he's been essentially a medically induced coma for 2.5 weeks or so.
Wow.
And that we're not looking at him in a coma and saying, oh, he's on his deathbed. Right. No, we're like, hey, he's making positive progress here. He's squeezing her hand. And that's how you have to look at things. Otherwise, you're just going to drive yourself crazy and drive yourself into a depression.
Yeah.
And be jaded.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you've heard of law of attraction. I really do believe this. Again, this is one of those things that I never would have believed in a handful of years ago. But what you put out there, I mean, you're going to get back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're a veteran coming back and have seen some shit, veterans do, and that does affect you. But if you think the world sucks and everything sucks, well, that's what you're putting out there, right?
Right.
You're going to get back. And I know it's much more complicated than that, because there's other mental anguish, PTSI and PTSD, and other stuff that people struggle with. I get that.
Sure.
But
that's, you know, that's another place where mindfulness and meditation come into play is that if you are able to be quiet and meditate, even if it's for 2 minutes, during that time, you let your mind settle. You can, in turn, focus on the positive stuff, because you're setting yourself up to look for the positive stuff. If you're constantly racing and never taking time to stop and think and stop and settle your mind, sure, that some of that negative stuff is going to stick out, and it's going to look as though that's all there is in life. But when you are able to stop for a second and settle that mind, some of the positive stuff is going to bubble to the surface, and then you're going to be able to focus on that more often.
So what's just some of the tools, brother, that you can give like people listening, you know, and they're struggling with stuff. I mean, cause it's a busy world out there. You know, that going 150 miles an hour, we got social media and all this other stuff, a lot of noise out there.
Right.
So what are some practical tips you can give people to settle their mind down and get into that practice?
Sure. Well, I recommend starting small, starting easy. Don't beat yourself up. I downloaded an app much like you did initially. I downloaded Insight Timer, but there's hundreds of them. I mean, there's Insight Timer, Calm, Headspace, 10% Happier, Waking Up. I mean, you name it. There's tons of these apps. But yeah, I recommend starting small And when you, you know, if you sit down for a 30-minute meditation right off the bat and your mind starts wandering off, you're going to suddenly think, I can't meditate.
This sucks.
And yeah, and a lot of people, and a lot of people do, they get discouraged. Yeah. Like, you know what, this isn't for me. I recommend like starting like 2 minutes, something super simple. Try to focus on your breath for 2 minutes, nothing else but your breath. Focus literally on the physical sensations of the rising and falling of your belly, your rising and falling of your chest, and the physical sensation of the air going into your nostrils and coming out of your mouth. Simple as that for like 2 minutes. Do that for like 10 days. Maybe even do it a couple of times a day for 10 days. And then start to kind of get a little bit longer into like 5, 10, 15 minute meditations. And then that's meditation. And then mindfulness, you just focus on the here and now, right now. Nothing from the past, nothing from the future. You just focus on the very present, what we call situational awareness, right? On mm-hmm. the beat or in the military. That's all you're focusing on. So when you're sitting down to eat, turn your phone off. Don't do it in front of your computer. You know, sit down and eat a meal and actually enjoy it. That's being mindful. You can be mindful for like the 2 minutes, like you drive to work, pull into the parking lot, and you know you're going to go into that office where you're suddenly going to be get a barrage of emails, and all your bosses or everybody's going to start going at you. Hey, pull into that parking lot, take 2 minutes, focus on your breath, kind of decompress, wash home off. So now you can be focused on work.
Yeah.
And walk into the office and your mind is completely different. Same thing in reverse. Come home from work, pull into the parking lot, or pull into your driveway, in your garage, whatever. You know, take 2 minutes, focus on your breath, wash work off of you, so that when you walk into that home, you can be focused on your home life, whether that's alone, whether that's with a family, with kids, with a spouse, whatever the case may be. You can focus on home when you're at home.
Yeah.
So those are some of the tips. And then I also recommend, don't sleep with your phone by your bed. So many of us do,
because
the first thing, turn it off. I mean, if you work a job where you have to have a phone, you know, get an old landline and use that, but don't sleep with your smartphone by your bed, because what happens, so many of us use our smartphones as our alarm clocks. And then the first thing we do is that alarm clock, our phone goes off. We roll
start
over.
Reading.
Yeah, start reading. What notifications did I miss? You open up social media right off. What did I miss?
Yeah,
emails. And most of the stuff that comes in the middle of the night is junk anyway.
Yeah, it's BS.
So just blow that off. The first 5 minutes that you get up, go to the bathroom, take care of your needs, and then sit down for 5 minutes or 2 minutes, even like I mentioned before, just 2 minutes and just breathe and be like, okay, what does my day look like? No, that's not what you want to do. No, you want to sit down and say, okay, just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just be quiet. And then once you're settled, then you can jump into the, hey, what does my day look like?
Yeah.
And just get settled before you really get going.
What you said. Oh, go ahead.
One of my buddies said it great the other day. I have a podcast.
I know. I want to talk about that.
Well. Yeah. So I interviewed him, and he's like, hey, you know, the days that I get up and I don't meditate, it's like I got shot out of a cannon. And that's exactly what it feels like. Like you get shot out of a cannon, and suddenly you're just racing and you can't catch up. And, you know, that basically feels like the face that I just made. So that's what life feels like. Whereas if you get up, you give yourself an extra 10, 15 minutes in the morning, get your wits about you. Oh, you can now go about your day and you're not getting shot out of that cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too about you have to be intentional. I mean, nothing is going to happen overnight. I mean, we live in this instant gratification society where, I want to sit down and do meditation for 2 minutes and I want it to solve all my problems. No, it takes, your mind is a muscle. It takes practice.
Yeah.
It takes developing, and anything, you know, worth, you know, self-improvement, it's going to take some time.
Right. Right.
So you just can't expect it to happen overnight.
And you know, I was one of those instant gratification guys.
So was I.
When the doc recommended mindfulness and meditation to me, you know, I started practicing again with just a basic app, and I went back after 2 weeks and I was like, dude, this stuff
what
this
is
stuff
this?
Is not work. This stuff is not working for me. And you know, you feel the immediate effects. Sure, you feel more relaxed, but then as soon as you get back into life, you suddenly get stressed out again. But he was like, well, that's like going to the gym for 2 weeks and thinking you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. And I was like, all right, good point.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So I practiced for about 8 weeks total before I started to feel
measurable different result. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's almost exactly like going to the gym. Go to gym for 2 months and that's when you're going to see the measurable results.
Yeah.
Meditate for 2 months and that's when you'll see the measurable and maintainable results.
And your life will get better.
Yeah.
When you, and your mindset and your world's going to improve, your relationships. When I started doing this, my relationships got better. My attitude got better. And who doesn't want that?
You're more mindful in a conversation.
Yeah.
You pay more attention to, the body language of someone. Mm-hmm. You're not just listening to the words, if at all the words. Sometimes people aren't even listening to the words that are coming out of the mouth of their significant other, but you pay attention to what it is they're saying, what it is they're doing, what it is they need. Emotional, physical, financial, you're invested in the relationship now. So yeah, your relationships are going to improve.
Be in the moment.
Yeah.
Be in the moment.
That's it.
Be in the moment. Talk about your show, brother. You mentioned the podcast and I've listened to a couple of shows. Amazing job, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. With Veterans Path, we have an associated podcast where I bring people who are in the mental health arena or who have an experience with mental health, whether it's overcoming adversity, post-traumatic stress, whatever the case may be. I bring them on to talk about how they've overcome it or what it is they bring to the mental health arena. And it's not all just mindfulness and meditation. As much as I believe in mindfulness and meditation, and I do believe everyone can benefit from it, I don't believe that it's a panacea. I don't believe mm-hmm. it's the cure-all. I think that there are other alternative therapies. I believe in psychedelics myself. That's my own personal opinion, and I've read enough on it mm-hmm. to where I believe that maybe psychedelics is what you need to look into. Mm-hmm. There's binaural beats or biofeedback. There's all sorts of things that people can do to get better mentally. And that's what I bring on the show. I bring on people who have either used that or teach that. So that's it. Yeah. The Veterans Path.
Well, it's so needed, man. There's so many people out there. I got family members that suffer from, schizophrenia, bipolar disease. And it's so pervasive, it seems like, in society now. A lot of people struggling with stuff. That's why I really commend with what you're doing, brother. Much needed.
Thanks, man.
Much Thank needed you. in this world we live in. And as law enforcement, I never thought, over two decades in law enforcement that, almost on a daily basis, my guys would be and female officers would be responding to people in mental crisis almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're the front line, we're the first responders, that's what we do. But it just got it was so sad that so many people out there are just struggling, especially now with all this stuff that's going on. That's why it's so good that people have an outlet, man, with your show, and you can give them tips and suggestions. You have experts on, so just very much needed.
Yeah, thanks, man. And we are actually on our Veterans Path website. We have a bot now that if you get on there, you can actually either chat on the website or via text.
Cool.
And tell that, say, hey, look, I'm experiencing depression or I'm experiencing stress, and we'll point you at a podcast that's associated with that particular feeling. Yeah, it's wild, man. It's totally wild.
Yeah, and everything will be linked up in the show notes for the listener. Talk about, right, you're also an entrepreneur, dude. Like I was joking with you before we started. Yeah. I was like, John, your resume is a little light, dude. You need to beef it up a little bit. I mean, Dartmouth, Naval Academy, stuff like that. Talk about the Scrum Board, dude.
Yeah. So the Scrum Board is kind of the brainchild of mine and a couple of buddies.
I love it. This is a great.
So if you're familiar with Scrum at all, it's JJ and Jeff Sutherland's baby, where they teach you it's a project management framework to get things done, basically get things done in an orderly fashion and make sure that you're checking in with your customer continually so that you're not creating something that the customer doesn't want.
Yeah.
Well, we took that down from the team level, because they've talked about scrum with a team and they've talked about scrum at scale with massive teams. I was like, well, what about the reverse? What about bringing scrum to the personal level, right? What about, you know, we all have our to-do lists, and our to-do lists are on our phones, our to-do lists are on our notebooks, and those to-do lists get lost. Or if they're on your phone, you bring up your phone, you look, you go to your to-do list so that you can get stuff done. And suddenly an hour later, you realize that you've been on social media or on email or whatever. You get distracted by your phone, as we were talking about earlier. So I was like, what if we created a Scrum personal board? It had, you know, a rigid frame so you could set it up in front of you, and you could just track your to-do list all day long without touching your phone. It's right there in front of you, so you can't get away from it. So yeah, it's just basically a folding to-do list.
Yeah.
And it's divided into backlog, do, doing, and done. And you just basically use the Scrum methodology, but at a personal level. And I created it just kind of as a joke with a buddy, about a year and a half ago. And then I started realizing, wow, I'm actually getting a lot more done using this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we can turn it into something that we can sell. And we started with just some basic paper that was laminated, and they gave it to some buddies and were like, hey, try this out, see if it works. And they enjoyed it. It took off. And it's doing okay. You know, for a small business, it's doing okay. And I'm glad to see that people are actually employing it
at the personal level
and getting stuff done.
Where can they find it, brother? If people are.
Yeah. Just Google, rather go to Amazon. It's available on Amazon, and it's just called Scrum on the Go.
Such a great idea, brother. Thanks, man. Well, John McCaskill, thank you so much, brother, for coming on the show.
Fun.
Thank you for your honorable service to this great country and your continued service to our brave men and women who serve this great country. Much success to you with Veterans Path and all you're doing, brother. Love to have you back on down the road, and take care.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And, if we don't speak again before the holidays, I mean, we just wrapped up Thanksgiving, but we got the rest of the holidays and then a happy new year coming up.
Yeah.
So hopefully 2021 is a much brighter year for all of us.
We hope so, man. And everything we talked about for the listener out there is going to be linked up in the show notes. John McCaskill, thank you, brother. Take care.
Absolutely.
And I will talk to you down the road, my friend.
Right on. Sounds good, man. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.